morning, Blog Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, world. Good morning. Welcome to Morning at the Mansion, the men's edition. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And I'm with Pastor Bobby McCann, the Crosswalk Church today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sally Beretta. Hello. How you doing? Tell John I said hello. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Sergio, Crosswalk Church.
Good morning, Pastor Sergio.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias, mi amigo.
All right. But anyway, yeah, today is Monday. If anyone hasn't realized it, woo, 11421, Shawnee Banks in the house. Good morning, Shawnee Banks. Good morning, Becky. Good morning, Montoya Radar. Good morning, brother. Greetings from the 11421, Shawnee Banks in the house. One day, Sean, he's going to call in and give you a testimony of, we'll finish writing that book. But anyway, Bobby, it's Monday morning, man.
Good morning.
Good morning, brother. God bless you. Love you, man.
Woo! Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Malomo Z and Laura Kelly of the Morning at the Mansion, the original. Good morning.
Right,
the
original.
A quadruple anointing going on.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, Anthony Yomsky, New York. Good morning, Yama, Becca Wilson. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron Monroe.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Becky.
All right. Hallelujah. 11421 in the house. 76180. I didn't even know Fort Worth. I didn't even know Japan's zip code or Pakistan's. Well, good morning to Pakistan, Japan. Good morning, Indonesia.
Amen. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I think it's the 5th of August, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's Monday. You
know it's
that?
August. I can tell by walking outside.
Yeah, it's August. Good morning, Sherry D. Robinson. Good morning, woman of God. Woo! All right. Man, I'm real excited this morning. We got a great show. We've been following the last couple weeks on Independence of God. God put true inspiration in my heart of this message. It's so far it's a 4-part series. I mean,
yeah.
It's going to go at least 5, I think. But anyway, there's a lot to it. And I pray that you guys are blessed with what we speak about this morning. So we're going to be talking about the attitude of Jesus, and the attitude that men and women of God need to have, and not just in their minds, but in their hearts, not on their tongue, but in their hearts. And we have to be, just as Jesus done things, just as God has done things, we have to do things as well. And we have to really have a check of our attitude to know how we should be walking. Attitude is a very big part of this experience. And the proper attitude that leads to the baskets of fruit that Jesus is looking for.
He was our example. You know, the first show that we did on being imitators of God, the Lord reminded me how my sisters used to tell me I was adopted. And, you know, they were just giving me a hard time. But, you know, my sisters used to tell me I was adopted, and my mother used to tell me that I acted just like my father.
Uh-oh.
And she didn't mean that in a good way. But, you know, and then I think back on it, and I'm taking it as a prophecy. Because now I am adopted, and now I strive to act like my father.
Woo, good morning, Ron Monroe. Woo, good morning. Hallelujah. Cherishing the shit. All right. Let's just get started, man. This is a good topic. And I'm going to pray this
thing about
you. Father in heaven, holy is your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your anointing you put on these words that will go forth, Lord. We also thank you for the hearts that are softened, Lord, for the words that come forth, Lord. So we know your words do not come back void, Lord. We thank you, Lord. As we stand here, you are the Lord of hosts, and we are your vessels. We're willing vessels, your host vessels, Lord. Use us the way you want, Holy Spirit, have your way today. And we praise you, Jesus, for all your goodness. And we lift your name higher today on this show. Father, kingdom come and your will shall be done. And we pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Woo! Welcome, Blog Radio. Good morning, Blog listeners. We're so happy to be here today. I think it's the 5th of August.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Right. Okay, but anyway, it doesn't matter about the date, but the time.
Cinco de Julio.
We're sitting here right now and we're going to get the word of God. And again, we've been talking about imitators of God. That's Ephesians 5:1. Be therefore be imitated of God as dear children, is what it says, and it's important. Like Bobby had just mentioned a minute ago, you want to be just like your father. Your father in heaven.
That's right.
And you want to be just as a dear child would be as a, of this world, their father. And you get their attributes and sometimes their eyes and, you know, their hairdo or whatever. You know, but you want to be just as your father in heaven. And this is so important with our walk as Christians. And we can't just be, you know, skipping through and doing what we want. We have to truly try to be the best we can for God. And it says, do all things in the excellence of God.
Yeah, and you know, what's so awesome about our Heavenly Father is, you know, you were just saying that we don't just go through and do what we want, but when we spend time with Him, we get to do what we want because our desires change.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We line up with His, and we end up doing what we want because we want what He wants.
Well, didn't Paul say, I can't do what I want to do, but I do what I don't want to do, right? And
And then he goes on and says, but thank God.
Yeah. So there
Jesus
it is.
Jesus Christ.
We got to do, and it's not about, and just to give someone a message out there, I believe, always God, if you have peace at it must be God. Not all the time. You need to read about Noah. You need to read about Paul. You need to read about, especially Jonah, Moses. So use those examples, because that's what I follow. Because if it's something that's ruffling my feathers and rattling my cage, and I can't do it in my flesh, it's got to be God. If it's a godly thing that lines up, because God gets glorified.
That's right.
Gets glorified.
Yeah.
When we are doing things, they say, how'd you do that? You know, how did Eddie and Pastor Bobby end up that over there? That must have been God.
I thought they would be dead by now.
I didn't know we are dead.
Yeah. We're trying to die to ourselves.
Yeah. I didn't know those guys could read, let alone even preach the Bible. How did that happen? You know how that happens.
Thank you, Lord.
So we need to know that. We want to be stretched. We want to be stretched. Right, Bobby?
That's right. Yeah.
And I just say, oh, do you have peace at it? Yeah, so it must not be God. And that's just a message to someone out there, because you're thinking that you don't have peace in this. But if it lines up in the Word of God in the Bible, and someone, because nothing new under the sun, if you can read about it in the Bible and one of the greater servants of God has done it before, chance all he wants to do it again for a time such as this. So consider all that, brothers and sisters who's watching this morning. Good morning, Isabella Lopez.
Good morning, Danny Wood.
All right.
Good morning, Sherilyn, my mother-in-law, my beautiful mother-in-law.
Cool party. Come on. Yeah, hallelujah. Wow. That's why we need to get more Christians with pools in our congregation. Bigger pools.
For baptism.
Bigger backyard. Bigger smokers and barbecue. Come on. All right. Yeah. Christians are allowed to have fun, too. Yeah. All right. So here we go. We're going to start off. Remember, we're talking about imitators of God this morning. And we're going to dive right into it because we got a lot of meat on the bone. So we're going to open up to Philippians 2. Chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, we're going to read it. And I'm reading from here from the New King James Edition. All right. And it says here, Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each other esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look not only out for his own interests, but also the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. All right. A lot of people hear that and they don't like to hear it, because it's all about others. It's not about yourself anymore. Because it says, be like-minded, meaning we have to all come on the same mind length and level. We have to be as one. We can't just be independent. A lot of people run around being independent. And here it goes. Be of one accord, like-minded, one accord of one mind. Do nothing through selfish ambition. Selfish ambition, we don't do things. See, when you do things for selfish ambition, you're showing off. You're trying to be a showboat. You're separating yourself from the rest of the team. You're doing what you want. And you don't want to do that. And you know, we don't want to do things to show off. It's going to anger others. It's going to bring strife and division. You're going to create a wave and not a good one. You know, people look at you and they're like, oh, look at that guy, showboat. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And know that the lowliness of mind, we got to let our actions not be prideful. We have to know who we are. We have to know that God, we are just a vessel. And God does it all through us. So don't think you're better than anyone else because God, you know, done a couple of things through you. And you notice that. Be humble. Be humble.
Yeah, you know what I find really interesting about this scripture is Paul was talking to the church in Philippi, and Paul had already gotten the attitude of Jesus because it says, fulfill my joy. Paul was talking about it would make him joyful if y'all were being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, you know, not being selfish or conceited. And so Paul already had the attitude of Jesus Christ. And because it says after that in verse 6, it says that, you know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know, you were just talking about that. We need to check our motives and make sure we're not doing it. I mean, you can get involved in ministry, and I'm saying this from experience, where the ministry becomes the God. You're doing ministry because of you think you're, you know, we're saved by grace. It's nothing that we can do.
Yeah.
And then once we spend time with him, the ministry will flow out of that. You know, Jesus, you know, it says he humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross.
Well, yeah, we need to remember.
And the joy that Paul was talking about, he had the same joy. The joy that Paul was talking about was the same joy that Jesus, except for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And that joy is you and I.
One mind, one accord, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Here's the thing. Selfish ambition, that creates competition.
Yeah.
And we're not, the point of the thing is not competing with the pinky toe, okay? We're one body, one mind. The lungs don't compete with the eyes or the ears, you understand? We all have a certain function. And we're having so when we do things through a selfish ambition, we're creating a competition which is not healthy or even called into the kingdom works. Because we're not here to compete. We're here to complement. Our ministries are to complement. God will not have anything doing to compete with one another. We're here to complement one another and their ministries, okay? Because without what God's doing through Bobby, what he's doing through me is not going to work right. We have to know that. If you're out there thinking like, what do you mean that guy handed out, 18 sandwiches and 7 salvations? I got to do 25 sandwiches to get 12 salvations. It's not like that. It's not like that. We need to compliment one another. And we celebrate others' victories, but the victories are ours.
Sure.
These victories belong to all of us. And some guy just got led to Christ in China. Guess what? Whoever his name is, we still have victory in that because we don't even know that man. We never met that man, but we know we're part of that body because he's a Christian and he's doing this because God is working through us at all times.
That's right.
We can't have it all. Don't be so selfish and conceited to think that God's going to do all this work through you, and you're the special one in Fort Worth or Beijing or Iraq or Iran. God is using us where we are.
Yeah.
Right now, we both sit at this table, but there's many people out there leading people to Christ, praying for people. People getting out of wheelchairs right now. Blind eyes are being opened right now. But I'm here, and this is where God wants me. So bless the Lord. Don't compete. Compliment.
You know, a perfect example was on the 4th of July when we were down at that park, and my son-in-law and a guy from his church were street preaching out at the park, and we were passing out, you know, Laura and Eddie and I were passing out tracts.
Yeah.
You know, we wasn't preaching. We were passing out tracts. We were working together.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, the best baseball team I ever played on, we had the most talent, but anytime we started arguing amongst ourselves, we lost every time.
Here's the thing. We look at other people. We look at other ministry. We look at what God's doing to other people. Let me tell you, that's going to pull you away from what God's trying to do you. Because if you're looking at the door that God opened for the guy, you know, 3 pews ahead of you when every Sunday at church, you're missing 2 or 3 doors God opened for you. See, we don't need to be looking at other people's measuring sticks because we're always trying to – that's in the flesh. We need to be spiritual in how we see things. And Jesus Christ is our only measuring stick. We can never measure up to him. So we always will be achieving for greater things. And we have to know that Christ is the one that we follow, not other people. And
that's right. So and that's why Paul said that. You know, he said, fulfill my joy by being like-minded.
Yeah. lowliness of mind means to do it humbly. Don't do anything yourself as ambition, and look out for the interests of others. That's so important for people watching today. It's not about you, brother. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
So don't be trying to, you know, kick Jesus out of the driver's seat. You know, it ain't going to work because you're going to get lost, stuck in the mud. Just don't do it. All right, now, so just know that. We need to know. So that was Philippians 22:21. Let this mind be with you that was also in Christ. This mind, meaning this attitude. Know that the mind, the attitude. The attitude's so important. We have to adjust our attitudes a lot of times. Right, Robert?
Yeah.
Man, even this world, the attitude is so important. Even this world talks about the attitude. Have a good attitude. Have a better attitude. It's so, you know, the attitude is everything in how we approach the things of God.
Yeah. And, you know, the first thing we need to do, I was looking at Jesus, the Bible said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Oh, yeah.
And that which was lost was the innocence, you know, and, it, you know, he says it in another scripture that unless you're converted and come as a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And what happened was in Genesis, when before they ate of the forbidden fruit, they were naked and not ashamed.
Yeah.
As soon as they sinned, the shame came in, and Adam became like Lucifer. You know, God said, "Where are you, Adam?" I was scared. I hid. I was naked. It was all about him, that selfish ambition. And Jesus came to get that innocence back, you know, where we don't have to be ashamed. The best thing we need to do is study that scripture that says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. When you study to show yourself that you're approved, God already knows you're approved. Yeah. So when you study to show yourself approved, you're studying and you're listening and you're hearing what God says about you, not what the enemy says about you, not what the world says about you, not what your family says about you, not even what you say about yourself, but you get in your spirit what God says about you, holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. And that's when you can not be ashamed and you can move forward and have that joy.
That joy is what's going to bring the good attitude to you.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll say it, but your joy depends on how much faith you have. And your peace will depend on how deep your faith is. I assure you that. And you're going to need to approach these things to God because sometimes people are going to rub you the wrong way. So you're going to have a lot of peace and joy in your heart before you even step into that battlefield because you'll get knocked off your horse if you're not careful. And then, here we go, Bobby. We're going to go into James, I guess, unless you want to squeeze a little more out of these scriptures. But you know where we're going, right?
James. Yeah, James. So where are we at here? James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, we talked about the innocence was lost and bitter envy and self-seeking was sown. You know, when God said, "Where are you, Adam?" and it was all about him, that's when that self-seeking, you know, and if you have bitter envy and selfishness in your heart, you're lying. You're fooling yourself is what it's saying. Don't lie and boast against the truth.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you fooled yourself. So here it is. Who is wise? Is that what it says in yours?
Mine's New King James says, who is wise?
Yeah, all right, so who is wise? So here it says, who is wise? Let them show by their good deeds done in humility. So who is wise? It's saying, who is humble enough? Who is humble enough amongst you is what he's saying, because that wisdom comes from the humbling. You're not going to have true wisdom from the Lord unless you're humble. And here it is. Let it show by your good life, by your deeds, done in humility. Humility that comes from wisdom. See? So it's about humility. So here's the attitude. There's two types of attitude. You've got pride versus humility. And it's always going to be a battle. They're in the ring almost every day. We have to really know that we have to build up our humility. How do we do that? By getting in the Word, by studying the Scriptures, by seeking the Lord. Because the wisdom, when it comes from God, through your spirit, will humble you. it will humble you because it's such a humbling, because you know that you're like, all right, I got this, Lord. But if you're going to study and read the book with your mind, and you're going to listen to the sermon so you can sound good, so you can point a finger, so you can just speak a little bit and be like a soundbite of somebody else's sermon or something you heard on TV or on the radio, or even something you heard, might have heard on my show. We don't, God don't give us regurgitated words or revelations. He's going to give it directly to you and me and Bobby. And sometimes you'll hear something that we say, it will activate a revelation in your heart, and God will open up a new perspective of what we're talking about. But we're not to go on just going on, oh, you know, this sounds good, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. You better off just quoting scripture word for word, and that'll help you a lot better.
Amen.
No, seriously. And so know that. So
you know, Pastor Eric said something yesterday when he was preaching about how that when if you're not getting persecution, then you might not be preaching the right gospel. And sometimes, I mean, I've actually heard from the pulpit that people are almost condemning preachers that use too much scripture.
Well,
and I'm like, okay, Lord, that's my persecution.
Yeah, well, here it is. Good morning, Pastor Eric.
I'm gonna throw it out there, man. I'm throwing the scripture out there because I can't go wrong.
Yeah. Good morning, Pastor Eric.
Good morning, Pastor Eric.
Good morning, Mike Malay, NYPD. We want to pray for all the police in the house, all the servants of the Lord, all the authorities, Lord, right now, throughout the entire world, the soldiers. And we pray for them today, Lord, and bless them,
amen.
Give them wisdom and protection.
In Jesus'
mighty
name.
Yeah, I mean, and I believe that. Just as I said earlier, if I'm not feeling sort of uneasy about it, chances are at this point in this stage in the game, it's probably God not motivating, because God is trying to stretch us.
Well, Eddie, you just said something about we need to be humble and not proud. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
We cannot
be imitators of God. We cannot follow Jesus and live the way he lived without grace. So, you know, if he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, then we need to be humble if we want to be imitators of God.
Yes, we need to be humble, and people don't realize it because they're even getting prideful. I was a bit prideful when I first stepped into the ministry because I wanted to hand out more ravioli than anyone in the whole world and pray for more people, lead more people to the Lord in the campsites and tear down these tents, you know, and go in there and pray for everyone. But guess what? That was all pride doing, because I was competing. Remember what it says, do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit. I always had a lot of self-ambition. I ran into the ministry like, oh, I'm going to be the best. You can only be as good as God graced you to be, Bobby.
That's right.
You know
it's
that.
It's the grace
I know that.
Of God.
It don't matter. I don't wake up with any pressure on me, because you know what? God, he's the Lord of hosts, and he's going to put before me the things he wants that day. I'm not going to have to go searching for people behind the dumpsters anymore like I used to in the middle of the night. All right, God's going to bring them out to me. They're going to surface. They're going to come out. I'm a young man, come here. Come out of that dumpster. Come talk to me. And that's the way it is. We don't compete. We compliment. Okay? We're not doing this to check mark on our earthly checklist. No, these are check marks are going up in the records of the kingdom.
That's right.
And we need to know that. So don't be
God knows.
You know, don't brag against the truth. So don't try to teach and preach if you got bitter, jealousy, and anger in your heart, because you're not going to come out right. Don't deny it. And what it's saying is, don't run your mouth. I would do that better. I'm doing this better. You're not giving out the ravioli. I would. I would give it out, and I would give them a napkin. You don't give them a napkin with every can of ravioli. No. Let me tell you something. Don't try to compete. Let people be what – you don't know what God's trying to do in that. You don't know, right? Come on now. Don't brag against the truth. Our words are our seeds. We got to sow good seeds, right?
Amen.
Peacemakers who sow in peace reap the harvest.
And you can really tell. It says, but you know, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control. I mean, self-control is that's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. We're going to squeeze this a little bit more. Here's what I'm going to say is selfish ambition in the heart. Selfish ambition in the heart. Not in your mouth, not on your lips, not on your tongue, but in your heart, because we know where the mouth speaks from, the abundance of our heart. So if you've got selfish ambition in your heart, it's like one of those things that's got claws and it's holding on to your heart. It won't doesn't come out that easy. So we have to surrender it. This is a wicked spirit. That selfish ambition is the same spirit, the same ambition that Satan himself, Lucifer, was cast down because of that selfish ambition. That selfish ambition is so wicked, it is to destroy the church, to destroy your family, to make your dog mad at you. It don't matter. This is a selfish ambition that will rip apart the relationship that God has put together and forged. We need to know wherever such wisdom, it doesn't come from heaven. It comes from the pit of hell. And it's here. And it's here. It's demonic and unspiritual. Do you read these words? These are not our words. We're not putting an extra twist on it. This is the Bible. James says it. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. It's unspiritual and demonic. Wherever you find it, there will be disorder and evil practice. Don't invite this in.
You know, we live in a selfie world. I mean, it's, you know, the Bible says in the end times that men will be lovers of themselves. And, you know, you have selfies and this, that, and the other. And it's like Saturday night when we went to the prison, we didn't take a picture going in. We didn't take a picture going out. And this is not, I want to say this in the right way. The reason that I don't do it now is because I'm not going to fall into that trap. I mean, if Lucifer, who lived in paradise right next to God, could fall into that trap, don't think it can't happen. You know, the Bible says be alert. And I'm telling you, man. And the reason that I, as far as the prison pictures, who does that edify? Now, if we're preaching the gospel right here on Facebook, that's completely different. But if you're taking a picture of where you're at and what you're doing and it doesn't edify anybody, then you're doing it for self-seeking.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Well, and I love y'all.
Yeah. And God knows your heart. We're not telling you to get off of Facebook and stop. Don't ever take another picture again. What we're saying is make sure your heart is right. Whatever your motives are. Remember, we're talking about attitudes. All right? We're talking about attitudes and the mindset of things. So if the mindset is of advancing the kingdom, you might take pictures today and not show them for 2 or 3 years, because that's when God shows you that you're trying to release your soul. That's what. So know this: don't do good things with the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and I heard a pastor put it like this. He said, "Are you crying on your pillow?" And if the souls aren't your number one focus, you got to check yourself. For sure.
We're going to lift people up. So here it is. Don't even get into the selfish ambition. This is not the wisdom of thing. This is trying to thing. And it says, you know, we got to be peace-loving. We got to be full of mercy. And just know that God's wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, yielding, which means not stubborn, merciful, fruitful, impartial, and genuine. If you feel any of those things in your heart as you're doing things, you need to check yourself. You need to get with God. Don't be prideful. Don't compete. But don't compare and compete, right?
My mother-in-law put, our Father wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him, one built on love and trust in Him, abide in Him.
Amen. You need to abide in the Lord, and know that the Lord is good, and He's not going to see you wrong. No. But unless you're seeking, you know, you're probably driving by, because He gives us everything that pertains to godliness. But if we're not looking for certain things, you might just walk by him or drive by him and not realize it. So we need to see the thing. We need to always examine ourselves and our motives.
Yeah.
Right? That's what helped me when I started examining my motives. Because with that one scripture, Matthew 7:21, but Lord, Lord, I've done signs, wonders, and miracles in your name. But he said, depart from me. I don't know you. So check yourself. If you're not sure your motives, just meditate on it. Go to Matthew 7, check out 21, 22. And just
good morning.
Good morning, Jack. All right, we got a live audience in the house. All right. So it's up to me to read the scripture, right? All right. Check it out. Here it is in Romans, and we're going to breeze over this one. We don't need to spend much time because this one explains stuff. But remember what we're talking about. We're talking about attitudes of the heart. Thank you, brother Jack. God bless
Thank you.
We're talking about attitudes of the heart. We're talking about attitudes in the heart. We're talking about the mind.
Armor up.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about attitudes in the heart. We're talking about, I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 6. Following after the Holy Spirit leads to life, and peace, but following after the old nature leads to death. And this is the Living Bible translation. So Romans 8:6, following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace, but following after the old nature leads to death. So know that your negative thoughts, they're not from God. They're not from the Holy Spirit. They're the things that go against the Bible. We need to follow, not the old man. We need to put him to rest. We need to know that.
Yeah, and if you look up in Romans, you know, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that, just what you're saying, when you're carnally minded, it's not God that's condemning you. You know, it's yourself or the devil.
Yeah, it's it.
And so, but when we're walking in the Spirit, what God does as a loving father is he disciplines. The Bible says that he disciplines those that he loves. So when you're walking in the Spirit, it's not death. It's just a gentle rebuke that God, he makes sure if you're getting off track a little bit, he's going
to
come back, you know.
He's going to
get that child out of the street.
We need to know that God is good and he's going to do things all the time to bless us. Now know that God is good and he wants to bless us. It's real simple. It's real simple. And God is good. So we need to know that we need to be blessed to be a blessing. So we need to know that God wants to work through us with his Holy Spirit. So if we're not following the Holy Spirit, who are we following?
Yeah, and you know, it's like my mother-in-law was saying how we need to abide in him. And when we abide in him, that's when we're not going to be carnally minded. You know, we're going to be spiritually minded by abiding in him, because Jesus said that the words I speak to you are spirit and life.
Let's take a commercial. Yeah. All right, so here it is. Thanks for tuning in with Mornings of the Men Show. We're at the Mansions on Park Row, and it's a complex of beauty, wellness, fitness, and fashion. So even though we're in the studios up here on the first floor, but down on the downstairs is hairdressers, massage therapists, nail clinics, toenails, whatever you want to do. All right. So we need to do all that. And
I need a pedicure.
Let me lose a way. I'm going to shout your name, hallelujah. Hey. The things you have planned for me, I'll be seeking you forever and ever. Cause I don't want to stay here in my doubt. And blind me from the things that I can't see. You can't.
come and give a testimony. But that's it. I go in there because I genuinely love the people.
Yeah.
And my mindset is not of myself or selfish ambition. Like you said earlier, you know, I was running around and I'd have my camera all day. But now, you know, like I said, there's no cameras in the prison and there's no, you're not even supposed to take good pictures, I think. And that's insane. If you're out there just trying to build your own ministry, you better think twice about it because you need to see God.
And you know, we're talking about being imitators of God and having the attitude that Jesus had. Jesus came to serve, not to be served.
Yeah.
And when we get the mind of Christ, then we have the attitude of Christ, and we know that what he came for is to save souls. And it's all about souls. It's all about people being rescued from darkness and into his marvelous light. And when we get that attitude, you know, everything changes. It's not hard anymore. We flow in the Holy Ghost. We flow with him to do what he's called us to do with the works that he prepared beforehand, and we walk in them. And it's amazing.
Amen.
What he'll do through us.
All right. I think we're done with our commercial, right? All right. Let's get back to the business here at hand. So, do you have anything right here for me?
Yes.
All right. Just here. This one just to make a point here. We got a lot of
James 1, verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God."
Well, there it is. I mean, this is self-explanatory. It's very simple. James does a great job, the whole book of James, just giving us instruction and whatnot. But here it is. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. What is anger all about? You know, we need to know that the anger is not of God.
Not at all.
We are to get angry. Don't get me wrong. God is, it's time to read the Bible. God is angry. But here's the thing. We need to let it go. We're going to talk about that more in the next thing we do.
Yeah.
But just know. Slow to speak, slow to anger, right?
Yeah, and the anger that God has was righteous anger. You know, he hates sin, and that's what we should do is hate sin if we're going to be imitators of him. You know, when it says be slow to speak, you know, let every man be slow to, you know, we have two ears and one mouth. And I think it's for a reason.
Thank you.
You know, you learn a lot more by listening than you do talking.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, Bobby. I'm going to read Ephesians 4:23. The reason why we're getting here is because there's a lot of meat on this bone right here. And Ephesians 4, verse 23 to 27, I'm reading from the NIV. Here's what it says. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. Okay? 24, 21. To be in the attitude of your mind. Being made new in the attitude of your mind is put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. And don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. And give no foothold to the devil. All right. I'm going to say about here in verse 25 that word, therefore, you must put off all falsehood or lies and speak truthfully. That word in the Greek is suedos, or pseudo, as the word we use, pseudo, P-S-E-U-D-O-S, pseudo. So pseudo is a fake, an imitation, so a lie. So don't speak to your neighbor for falsehood, meaning, you know, if there's something on your heart, tell them. Don't, you know, just say, oh, it's all right. And, you know how I'm talking.
Yeah.
Again, no, that don't work right. So just... And don't anger your sin, and don't lie to your neighbor, because the devil, you know what he is, he's the father of all lies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, and it says not to give place to the devil, and we just read where it says bitter envy and self-seeking, that there's every evil work. And when you open the door, like you said, the devil's the father of lies, so the lying spirit, it will entrap you in every way possible. It's a truth that we know that's going to set us free. And, you know, lying, if you lie, you're going to have to come up with another lie to remember what that lie was about. And pretty soon you're like a hamster on a wheel.
So here's that. So be made new in the attitude of your mind. The attitude of your mind. So think about this. The attitude of your mind. We're talking again about Jesus, his attitude. Your thoughts. Your thoughts are important. Because your thoughts lead to your attitudes. And then your attitudes lead to your actions. So what it tells us in the Bible, to take in 2 Corinthians 10, take every thought captive. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Before you go to bed, you better start reaching out to God if you got anger in your heart. You better start reaching out to God. You better start taking those angry thoughts captive. It's that simple.
You know, in the New King James, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And it, you know, in Romans, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God, like we talked about first, when you get the Word of God in you, what God says about you, and not only what he says about you, what he says about others, and you renew your mind. It's a transformation that happens, and that's how you put on the new man.
Yeah,
and
just,
you know, let the old man die.
Don't nurse your anger. Don't go to sleep. And don't nurse it. Starving. How do you starve? You just change your mind. Just as we have dominion. God given us dominion, so we control our mind. We
that's
have
right.
the ability to control our mind, control our thoughts. We have to cancel them, take them captive, and put them into punishment to Christ. So here it is. Don't hold on to negative thoughts. They're only going to take you deeper and deeper down that road. Put on the new self. The new self. So here it is. When you put on the new self, you got to take off the old man. Put on the new self. So what does that say? We need to do something. We need to put on the new self. God gave us a new self. Now put it on and walk in it.
That's right.
God ain't going to put it on for us or walk in it for us. But that's our job. That's our job to put on the new self. So we must be proactive in the process. We got to put on the new nature, but don't try to put the new nature on over the old nature. It's not going to fit right. Take off the old nature, put on the new nature, walk in the spirit, not
yeah,
according to the flesh.
And that's what I love about when you know, John said, I baptize you in water, but there comes one after me who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost
yeah.
and with fire. And that fire burns up all that stuff that needs to get out so you have room to fill yourself up with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
because there's not enough room for both.
Just walk in the spirit. Don't be walking according to the flesh. Just know that you got the new nature. Change your the old nature that he talks about is of the devil. The new nature is the nature of the new self is the attitude and nature of God himself through Christ Jesus. So this is what we need to example ourselves after. So don't be walking around trying to act like you want to teach Jesus something, but you're not. You need to know what he's trying to do in your life. And don't try to be double-minded, you know. Don't
yeah.
try to hold on to that old self and try to, you know, put him back on in the weekends. Because that's still not going to work. Because it ain't going to work. It's not going to work for you. Yeah? All right. You ready to move on to Isaiah?
Yeah. Isaiah.
All right. We'll move on to Isaiah 55.
Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
All right. A lot of people read that, and they say, well, I'm never going to get it right. Because God's thoughts are higher than mine. His ways are higher than ours. So we're just going to have to walk around as old sinners, saved by grace, and let's think about this. That's the wrong attitude, my brother and sister, because it says that was the Old Testament, but the New Testament, we're going to get into the next verse. But we need to know that once we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. So our thoughts are just line up with God's thoughts. Our ways are as God's ways, because we bring heaven to earth. Okay, my will is in heaven as on earth. So we got to know that. And we're going to read about it in the next scripture, because God's thoughts are higher. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here trying to bless you. God created the heavens and earth in 7 days. We can't even get it right here in a lifetime sometimes. But we need to know that God gives everything according to his godliness.
Yeah, see, the thing is, the Bible says that he gives his divine power, gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that word life is Zoe, which is the God kind of life, the life as God has it. So when we understand that, okay, faith works by love. So you have to trust God, first of all, and understand that his ways are higher than our ways. And then when we trust him, then we're gonna know that his ways are better. He has what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. And we only do that by getting to know him And when we get to know him, we understand that we're his children and he gives us everything. He puts his spirit within us and causes us to walk in his ways.
Amen.
So we do have the mind of Christ and our ways become his ways.
If we're going to walk
his
ways,
become our ways.
We're going to know his ways. We can't walk his ways if we don't know his ways. So
that's right.
So
we have to understand.
He reveals
that.
It to us. This was before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to talk about it right here in 1 Corinthians 2:10-15. We're going to talk about here. And just know that. It says here, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So see, here it is. God's already revealing things to us by his Spirit. When this was written in Isaiah, they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. You know, Jesus hadn't come yet, but they prophesied about it. So know that everything that we have now, we can understand, was God giving it to us with his Spirit. And here it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. But who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So there it is. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God in us, right? There it is. We know that. So now we know that we have access to God's thoughts, God's attitudes, God's ways through the Holy Spirit.
That's right. You know, the Bible says that he prepared the works for us before the foundation of the world that we could walk in them. When it says, but God has revealed them to us, what is the them? Right above that, it says the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Yeah.
He's already prepared what we can walk in. He's already prepared certain, like you said, the body. Everyone has a different walk, a different work that he's prepared beforehand. And when we find that out by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And when we commune with him, we find out what he wants us to walk in. It's that
there
simple.
There we go. It's real simple. And then it says in the next verse, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. So, yeah, we can operate in one or two spirits. The spirit of this world, the spirit that's from God. And it goes on to say, this is what we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but by words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual reality with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and can't understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject merely to human judgments. Okay. So we have the Spirit that's going to discern spiritual things. It also will discern the way we're acting and what we're doing and the way we're living in general. But people are going to look at you and they're going to say, "Wow, look at what happened to Eddie. You know, I think he's gone crazy. He became a Jesus freak." Okay. That's the spirit of this world trying to judge me, because such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. So once we accept the Spirit of God, we're going to not accept this. Any judgment whatsoever from this world, because it's foolishness, the word of God, to those who are perishing. They don't understand what we're doing. My family may not understand. My neighbors from New York that know me since I'm a baby may not understand. But my brother Bobby, which I only know several years, he understands, because we're pulling from the same spirit.
That's right.
So don't the spirit of this world judge you. Don't, because the spirit of this world is going to try to make you think that you're doing wrong. We're not doing wrong. We don't know. You don't know. We have to go against this world. And the word of God is so sharp, it cuts right through the things of this world, sliced in half, so we can tread it, just like Moses parted the Red Sea. We will tread through the spirit of this world with the word of God if it's just prevalent in our heart. So we need to study. We need to show ourselves approved. We need to know this world is against us, but God is for us. So who cares about this world?
Hallelujah.
All right, Bobby.
Well, you know, it says that they can't receive the thing. The natural man does not receive the things of God because it's foolishness. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. I walked an aisle at 13. You know, I answered an altar call at 13 years old, and I got baptized. And, you know, until I was 48 years old, I thought I was a Christian until I became a Christian.
Come on now.
And I'm telling you, it's foolishness. I read the Bible. It was foolishness. But when the Spirit of God came inside of me, the Bible opened up, and it's living, powerful. And it's the American Christianity. You know, I really thought I was a Christian. I mean, I'd sit at the bar, you know, drunk. You know, people, if something came up, you know, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. yeah, I'm a Christian. But, you know, I wasn't a Christian. I did not know, but I thought I was the whole time. Until I became born again is when I realized I wasn't a Christian. If I would have died in that sin, I would have went to hell.
That's what we read earlier. Do not boast against the truth, right? And if you run around and I had a bumper sticker and a T-shirt, and I'm out there getting high, getting drunk, going to the clubs, I might act and talk, but I'm boasting against the truth. The truth is, my heart isn't Christian. My T-shirt says I am. My bumper sticker says I am. Even though I show up to Sunday on the church and say, hallelujah, wow, Jesus is Lord. Throw money in the box, walk out, and then get to the brunch, mimosas, all you can drink. That's not being a Christian. That's falsehood. That's pseudo. That's a pseudo-Christian, the Greek word, pseudo, right? Lie, the lie, the falsehood we just talked about. That is pseudo. That is a fake. That is an imitation, and it's not going to get you to heaven. It'll get you praise and honor here amongst your people or your family or your whatever. It's not going to give you the praise of Jesus Christ when the day comes. Well done, son. Know that. You're only fooling yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus said that I would rather you be cold or hot.